I want to, as we enter into, of course, after Thanksgiving, we start, at least in America, we start the Christmas season, if you will. Amen. And because we don't have enough stuff in our homes already, we got to go out and get some more. But for the believer, for the Christian, it's been about Jesus prayerfully all year long. And it's not about to change now, right? We're just going to focus in on his birth a little more. I've titled the message today, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Revelation of Jesus Christ, because I cannot get away from this thought as in the scripture or in my life. Because everywhere I turn in the book, I'm seeing the revelation of Jesus. Who is responsible for the revelation of Jesus Christ? None other than God, the creator of all things. And as we consider the revelation of Jesus, I just want to walk through a little bit of the Old Testament, and then I'll get to my text towards the end of the sermon. Amen. How's that? Hey, yeah. I got my brother from Uganda here, so I can claim Ugandan time. Amen. But I want us to be, and I believe the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God would have us to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving for the salvation that has been brought to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The longer I live, the more I'm finding myself thanking God for my salvation, which we received when we received Christ. And yet there's preaching and teaching on this, that, and the other, and on and on, and all these things. But 1 Peter says that we were given faith. The end of our faith is what? The salvation of our souls. That's the reason why God has given you and I a measure of faith. It's not so that we can, you know, yeah, do we have a gift? We have a gift of prophecy. We have this gift. We have that gift. Yeah, all gifts are going to cease, though. They're gonna cease functioning. Peter said that the end of our faith, the culmination, the destiny that God has created for our faith is the simple salvation of our souls. And I find myself as a little boy dancing with his father all day long, just saying, Father, I thank you. I can't get over this salvation. It's just, it's otherworldly. It's not of us. It's not of me. And yet you bestowed it upon us. For God, this salvation through the revelation of Jesus, it started in him before time began. This salvation that we're speaking of, which is in Christ, the salvation that we receive through the revelation of who Jesus is, it started in God before time began. Titus 1:1 tells us, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. My salvation and your salvation was in God and promised in Jesus Christ before he created anything. Think about that. Before he said, let there be light, eternal life was in him, promised to you as his elect through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:4, 1:3, we know we were blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I heard that taught ad nauseum in the 80s and 90s as All we were concerned about was blessing, 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 a blessing. What was the blessing? Blessing was a house. Blessing was a car. Blessing was good health. Blessing was this. Blessing was that. Blessing, blessing, blessing. And all of those are blessings, but all of them are temporal blessings. All of them are temporal blessings. When what Paul was talking about, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There are no houses, cars, or lands in the heavenly places. Not such as, not physical. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose you and I before the foundation of the world. That is astounding. And that, beloved, is what ought to fuel our walk with him. That is what ought to give so much impetus for us to live. The scripture says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I realize that because he chose me for that. Because we realize that because he chose us for that. Matthew 25:34, Jesus speaking to his disciples said, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the atheists always ask the question, well, if God created us, who created God? You ever heard of there's no such thing as a dumb question? No, I take that back. No. By definition, if he's created, he's not God. John 17:24, Jesus said this, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Listen at the desire of Jesus the Christ. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. My Lord Jesus, I can't wait for that day. That they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Son, God the Son is talking about the love that God the Father has for him. Listen, church. I know. Look, okay, so we married this couple over here. A week ago, we married this young lady, Mary, who's not here, but her family's here. We married them, and Lord knows we don't even know what's fixing to happen here. But anyhow, but I said that to say this. I say that, church, we haven't been loved yet. I mean, listen, the depth. Paul, such that Paul prayed, he prayed that we would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. If he was praying for it, that meant we didn't have it. It wasn't ours. But he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. And this love Jesus talks about existed before the foundation of the world. And that's our destination, church. That's where we're headed. And every now and again, I get just a little inkling of what it, not what it may be like, but when I think about the love that the Father has for the Son, an eternal love, and that's where he's taking us. I say, oh Lord God, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you take knowledge of him? I mean, who are we? That to deserve, not that we deserve, but to even to partake, to experience this, the depths of your loving kindness. Okay, so for God, it was that revelation was in him. That salvation was in him before the foundation of the world. But for us, the salvation through the revelation of Jesus Christ started in space and time in Genesis chapter 3 and in the Garden of Eden. Because when man fell, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, God came and he cursed the woman, then he cursed Adam, and then he cursed the serpent. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, capital S. Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And that seed was speaking of none other than Jesus the Christ. And so in space and time, here began the revelation. No one knew it. No one knew it that this was speaking of Jesus the Christ. And on throughout the Old Testament, God was continually pointing to, speaking of Jesus the Christ, revealing his purpose, what he would do. But no one knew that it would be the second person of the Godhead. In Genesis 3:21, we read also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. God made tunics of skin. Skin comes from an animal. And in order to extract, to get the skin, the life has to be taken. And God took the life of an animal to provide a covering for his fallen creation. So therein lies another prophetic picture, if you will, of one who had to give up his life so that others might be covered. Then in Genesis chapter 8, after the flood, you remember Noah, God told Noah, take animals, two by two, take two of the unclean, but take seven of the clean into the ark. And he goes into the ark. When he comes out, the Bible says that Noah offered up an offering to God of the clean animals. The Bible says that the offering was pleasing to the Lord. And because it was pleasing to the Lord said, I will never again destroy all life on earth through a flood. In other words, the sacrifice of that animal brought salvation to a whole lot of more people, because God said, I'll never do that again. Because of the sacrifice that was offered. Then we go up to Abraham. And Abraham, remember in Genesis chapter 22, after God had given him the promised son, God said to Abraham, take your son Isaac, your only beloved son whom you love, and take him to up on a hill, I'll show you, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice to me. And Abraham takes Isaac, and as they go on, they have the wood, they have the fire, they have the knife. Isaac said, Dad, Father, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham prophesies. Abraham prophesies. And he says, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Genesis 22:8. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And therein we see again Jesus the Christ, the revelation of who he is, coming forward. Not only was Jesus Christ the Savior of all mankind for you and I, but he was the immediate Savior of Isaac. Amen. If anyone loved that lamb that showed up, look here, it was Isaac. Because his father said God's going to provide for himself a lamb. And when Abraham has the knife raised, get ready to plunge it into the heart of his son, God comes forth, says, no, Abraham, don't sacrifice your son. I'll sacrifice mine. And so we see that the revelation of who Jesus Christ is brought salvation. It brought salvation to people in the Old Testament. Quite obviously to people in the New. But we move on from Isaac in the book of Exodus, when God was about to take Israel out of Egypt. You remember what God said? He said, Moses, tell the people that I'm coming through Egypt on a certain night. He says, I'm going to kill all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. He said, so tell every person, tell every man, take for his family a lamb. take for his family. Let every one of you take a lamb, and you take its blood and you put it over the doorposts and over the lintel of the house, and I'll pass over you. So God commanded the children of Israel to take a lamb. The lamb's blood literally delivered the children of Israel from certain death. The firstborn in every house was gonna die, including Israel, if they did not have the blood. But God said, take a lamb. There again was a prophetic image, if you will, of Christ, the Lamb of God. John said in in the Gospel of John, chapter 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That lamb was being prophesied for thousands of years through prophetic acts, through prophetic words, oracles, divine words from God. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God made a promise to David. And he said, David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. We know that God, this was a dual prophetic fulfillment. God fulfilled this prophetic word in Solomon, but then he also fulfilled it in his son, Jesus Christ, the son of David. He said, and he shall build a house for my name. Solomon built it as a house, but that house went into ruin. God destroyed it because he detested it. But Jesus came. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, Solomon built the house. It was torn down. Jesus is building a house. Whose house? Paul says in 2 Corinthians, you are. Hey, look here. You people say, I want to go to the house of God. When I come to you, I'm coming to the house of God. Literally. Listen, we don't need this building to have a house of God. This is not the house of God. You are the house of God. You're the one that Jesus Christ said, I'm coming. I'm going to build my church. And so the scripture says, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And God would have done that for Solomon if Solomon hadn't gone off and started worshiping every other false god of his wives that he married. So God could not fulfill that word in Solomon. He did not establish his kingdom forever, but he did establish one other kingdom that we find, and we sing it, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. You know, we go, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. Hey! And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Then it goes on and it says this, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. That was the kingdom. That was the fulfillment in Isaiah 9:6 of this prophetic word in 2 Samuel. Fulfilled in Christ Jesus. God went on speaking of this son of David. I will be his father. Interesting. And he shall be my son. 2 Samuel 7:12-16. He says, if he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. Jesus did not commit iniquity. Solomon did. And God did exactly what he said he would do through Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He chastised his son Solomon. Jesus didn't commit iniquity, but you and I did. And God did chastise his son, Jesus Christ. Isaiah said this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The scripture reads here where God said to David, if he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him. You know what those mercies were called in Psalm 89? The sure mercies of David. You want a picture of the sure mercies? I'll give you a picture. He said, well, what does that mean? The sure mercy. But my mercy, I will not depart from them as I took it from Saul. You know what David did that shows the mercy of God? He murdered a man and committed adultery with his wife. And when the prophet said, thou art the man, he says, fear not, for God has put away your sin. Talk about mercy. Mercy, your mercy has triumphed where I should be judged. Mercy triumphs over judgment, James tells us. Aren't you glad that mercy triumphs over judgment? That God says their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. Hallelujah. Your sin, my sin, your iniquity, my iniquity. God says, I will remember them no more. That's why we don't remember each other's sin anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. So God's promise to David saved the nation of Israel from total destruction and pave the way for the Messiah, the son of David, to come forth and to fulfill prophecy. Isaiah 53:7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That is, you want something hard? You want something? Try it. Someone getting after you. Come on, laying it on you. And we deserve it. He didn't. But no. And say you don't deserve it, but they're accusing you. And you just sit there day after day, hour after hour, and you say nothing. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So just as the God of heaven was responsible for all of the Old Testament covenants in revealing his son, the Lamb of God, so was he responsible for the same in the New Testament. Now, as we come to my text, actually, that amen, which will take me another hour or two to unfold. Just having fun. Amen. What's interesting to me about the Christmas story, and I absolutely love the Christmas story. I was, Tori and I were out at Walmart yesterday, and we were walking into Walmart, and I just looked at it. And I said, now, Sugar, you know I don't care for the commercialization of Christmas. I really don't. You know, folk think they got to go out and get something just because it's Christmas. I get it, but that's crazy. Listen, the beauty of Christmas is this, plain and simple. God sent his son. He sent his son. He revealed his son. He brought him forth and showed him to all the world, not just the Jews, but to all the world. See? And so now all the world has to respond to this. But what is so interesting and so it's just, it's not comical, but listen, no one in the New Testament, no one knew who Jesus was unless God told them. In other words, you don't come to Jesus by your own understanding. You don't come to Jesus because you recognize, oh, you're a great one, and ain't I deep to recognize that you are the Holy One, so let me come to you. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. Not at all. Zachariah didn't even know what was going on in his own life. The angel had to show up to Zachariah, and here's the funny, Zachariah was praying for a son. And when the angel shows up and says, I'm going to give you a son, Zachariah like, how do I know what you're saying is true? Hello? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And you're going to be dumb. You're going to be mute. Not able to speak for a season because you didn't believe what the Lord has told you. Zachariah, we didn't even get to Jesus yet. Zachariah doesn't even believe about his own son. But remember, Mary, an angel had to come to Mary and say, Mary, you're going to be with child. Not only with Mary, Joseph didn't know what was. An angel had to show up to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto you your wife, Mary. That which is in her is of God. She's going to bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And the scripture says that Joseph woke up from the dream and took unto him his wife, because he was going to put her away, you remember. But not only that, the shepherds didn't know who Jesus was till the angel showed up and them watching over their flocks by night. The wise men didn't know. They knew it was a star. They're following this star, but they didn't know who Jesus was. Simeon didn't know. Anna didn't know. But all of them, I mentioned all of them because those were the ones that God tells us in the scriptures he told. And he did it by supernatural means. And so we find that at the birth of Christ, there's always supernatural activity surrounding the birth of Christ, not only in the natural church, but when somebody gets saved in this day and hour we're living in, there's angelic activity all around them, which brings about the very birth of Jesus. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except the Father who sent me draws him. And he does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so just as we see, I mean, in no other place in scripture do we find the level of angelic activity in the earth like we do surrounding the birth of Jesus. I mean, they're just angels. Angel shows up to Joseph, says, take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And then listen to this. And by the way, stay there until I come back and tell you otherwise. Stay there. When last time you had an angel tell you, hey, go on over into the next country and hang out over there. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. Anybody ever had that happen? No, because it doesn't happen. But it happened to Joseph. It happened to Joseph. Why? Because God was orchestrating the birth of his son, the revelation of his son coming into the earth. And of course, all of this agrees with scripture, because Matthew chapter 16 and verse 17, when Jesus was asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. And so no one in here who's born again, no one in here, you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. God did. And if God didn't reveal Christ to you and I, we would not be saved. Amen. So what we see happen in our lives, we see it happening in the scripture. Amen. In the lives of Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon, Anna. On and on and on it goes, because the same is true of us today. Do you remember when you didn't know him? My Lord Jesus. Sometimes I think about it. I remember being unsaved. How miserable it was. How hopeless it was. Waking up and having no purpose, no aim, no target, nothing to live for. I don't know if you remember. I remember it. I remember distinctly how just lifeless it was. And so we didn't come to an understanding of who Jesus is by ourselves, nor can we. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hey, look, God doesn't like boasting. He doesn't like it. Especially when you have no place to boast. You ain't done nothing. I haven't done anything. But we boast in him. Amen. By grace are you saved. It was by grace. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. By the grace of God. How precious is the revelation of Jesus Christ to you and I? How precious is that revelation now? Because let me say again, it has not ended and it will not end until the final and ultimate revelation of Christ comes. But day by day, he's revealing himself to you and I. Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to reference that, but he talked about it. He talked about what it means to be taught by Jesus, what it means to learn Christ, what it means to be taught by him. And listen, church, he's in your life and mine every day teaching us about himself. He's in my life and in your life teaching us about himself. You know, I was minding my business, but I'm being, you know, talking to the Holy Ghost. And he made very clear to me one day. He said, you know, I've been keeping you all this time. Because, you know, we can be slow. You know, I'm learning this. I said, Lord, how I made it this far? You ever talk to your Father? You ever talk to the Holy One? You know what I mean? Lord, I couldn't have come this far without you. He said, that's right. I've been doing it all. Yeah, I've been doing it. And matter of fact, not only is he doing what he does, but you and I can't do anything until he does something. Hello? I said, you and I can't do anything until he does something. We are responders. God created all the world, and then he says, now believe. So we have to respond to that. He's the great initiator. He's the great mover of all things. And we respond to what who he is and what he's done. That's what Romans 1 talks about, how God revealed himself to those who didn't believe, and they changed the glory of God into a creature. They worship the creature instead of the creator. That was their response, you see, to what God has done. So how precious is the revelation of Jesus Christ to us now? It must be precious, because if God the Father did not reveal the Son of God to us, we couldn't know him. We could not come to the Father or to Jesus. John 6:44 again. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So salvation is the work of God and God alone. And oh, how we rejoice in him and his great work. And what's so beautiful about that is this. Our rejoicing in his salvation is what fuels our witness. It's what fuels our witness. Now, sometimes we think witnesses going on the street, knocking on doors, I want to tell you about Jesus. We think that's witnessing. And to a degree, it is. But if you go and knock on a door and say, now, I'm going to tell you about Jesus today. You understand me? I'm going to tell you, that's not witnessing. That's not witnessing. That's trying to shove something down somebody's throat. But that's not being a witness. Hello. No. We witness with our life. We witness with our lives. See? Not just with our words. The way to God is through God the Son, by God the Spirit. No exceptions. Jesus said this in John 14:6. We know it well. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And one day we may be persecuted because we believe that. But have no fear. Be faithful unto death. Jesus told one of the churches in the book of Revelation, and I will give you the crown of life. Hey, hallelujah! Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I was listening to a pastor
this guy, he's a great marriage teacher on YouTube, and I've listened to him for, I've known about him for years. He has a great marriage ministry, but he's teaching on the book of Revelation, and I wanted to put in the comment section, brother, you need to go back to teaching on marriage. Hey, I sure enough was about to just hit him up and say, you need to go back to teaching on marriage, because he kept going on and on and on about we're not going to be here for the tribulation. Because, and he kept, and it was clear, this brother was scared to die. It was just clear as day, because he's teaching on the rapture and the second coming. He's teaching on the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. He's teaching all this thing. And it's real clear. He keeps going. Now, we're not, because he was on a safari in Africa, and the guide forgot to take his gun. He's like, you don't have a gun. And he's getting all scared. He said, no, the guy said, no, the lion, he said, no, they won't attack you. I'll shoot, you know, just watch. And so, he was okay. He was okay. The guy knew what he was talking about. You know what I'm saying? But this man, it dawned on me after about the sixth video that I was listening to him. It dawned on me, this brother is scared to die. Now, the problem with that is this. Paul said this in Colossians 3, for you have died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, a problem becomes when the Christian doesn't know that they're dead. Hello? Jesus said, be faithful unto temporal death and I will give you the crown of eternal life. Hello? Hello? Okay, then. God, help me. Help me to live this and walk this experientially. Help me to treasure you above life. Because we sing the songs, I love you more than life and all this. And then when it comes time, we're like, hey. No, I was just singing a song, man. You know, just, you'll leave me alone. Because that's where we are. Look here, come on. That's where we are. But Jesus said, okay, what you sing, I'm going to hold you fast to. Hello? So this brother was scared out of his mind. I turned the video off and prayed for him. I said, Father, have mercy on this man. But he really does need to get back to marriage teaching and leave the book of Revelation. Just leave it alone. If you're not going to teach what it says, come on. There were souls under the altars and who had been beheaded for Christ. And they said, Lord, how much longer until you avenge our death? You know what Jesus said to them? You know what God said to them? There are a few more people who are going to have to die. They're going to have to be beheaded for me. So just hang on. There's some other people, they're going to die. With that brother read that, I don't know what he's going to do. Look here. I'm saying, brother, read and teach the whole book, man. And understand that your life is hid with Christ in God. And listen, Jesus said, if any man seeks to save his life, what? He'll lose it. But if he gives his life up for my sake, he'll gain it. He'll find it. Here we are preaching, teaching the Bible and don't believe it. God, this is why the Bible says, let not there be many teachers among you. There's people trying to run up in the pulpit. I want to be in ministry. I want to teach the word. Okay. Okay. Go ahead. You're going to stand before God one day and give an account. Hello, are we? Jesus, help us. So let me get to my text. Here we are. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, starting verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Remember the word, that name Simeon means hearing. To hear. We get that from the Old Testament. Right? And this man was just and devout. Now, what I want us to see here is all that God is doing. Okay? And remember what we learned from our study in the book of Job. The Bible says that Job, he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and eschewed evil. Okay? And we said that Job was all of that because of what God had done in his life. Because you cannot be blameless if God is not working in your life. The same is true here of Simeon. And this man was just and devout, Luke 2, 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel speaks of Isaiah chapter 40,
where God said, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. He was looking for the time when God would deliver them from their enemies. Their warfare was ended, and he would comfort his people, right? So he's looking for the consolation of Israel, the scripture says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. All of this was God's doing. We go on. And it had been revealed to him. It had been revealed. Revelation, okay? God, in every one of the Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the shepherds, every one of them experienced the revelation of God. Through the angels, through dreams or what have you, God revealed things to them. And ultimately, we see the ultimate revelation in the epistles had come to the Apostle Paul. And Paul talks about all the revelations that he had received of Christ. So it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Imagine that. The Holy Spirit tucked away in your spirit, where God's going to do, God's going to bring something to pass in the earth, and you're not going to die until he does it. Hello. Well, we also see in that promise to Simeon, we see the gospel as well, because what God promised to Simeon is now preached through the gospel, right? And that is that all men need to see the Savior before they die. God said to Simeon, you won't die until you see the Savior. And now we go and preach to everybody, you need to see the Savior before you die. And so what God did in Simeon, he's doing in people's lives today through Jesus Christ. Because Simeon said, now let your servant depart in peace. And the only way you're going to die in this life in peace is if you know the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 27 goes on and says, so he came by the Spirit. He came by the Spirit. In other words, the timing was of God. God does that today. God, that happened with Carl when he went to apply for a job, and Carl got to the job late. Now, anybody tell you, when you go to apply for a job, don't be late. Carl got there late, late. Late, 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 late. Carl got there so late that they were packing up, getting ready to go. And when they sat down and talked to Carl, they said, oh, you just the one we're looking for. You are exactly the one we're looking for. Am I telling the truth, Diane? Yeah. And he got the job, been working there, and God just moved and on and on and on. Why? Because the timing was of God. Here comes Simeon walking into the temple. How many times is Simeon walking to the temple? Why are you walking to the temple? All kinds of times. Just like you and I walking into the church. You walking into the church, minding your business. But when the timing's of God, hello, when the timing is of God, it's altogether different. So here he comes into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the law, well, now there were many parents in the temple doing for their children according to the law. On the eighth day, you would circumcise the child and you would name the child, right? That's what would happen in Jewish custom according to the law. Well, as all these people in there, these women with their babies standing there, and here comes Simeon, he coming into the temple. But the Holy Ghost led him to who? Mary and Jesus. Mary and Jesus. Just like Jesus said, no one can come unto me except the Father who sent me does it. And so when you and I got saved, I went to Richard Roberts' meeting, said the sinner's prayer. I went to Ernest Angley's meeting, said the sinner's prayer. My mother was doing everything she knew how to get these crazy children of hers born again. We went everywhere, and then we ended up at R.W. Shambach's meeting. And Lord Jesus, I'll never forget that, because that was the time. That was the time when I went down, God was all over it. That was my time, amen? And so Simeon comes in, and it's his time. He sees Mary and the baby and Joseph. He took him, Christ,
up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. In other words, he says, Lord, you have fulfilled your word. I can die in peace now. Now, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Everyone's going to die. But Simeon said, let me die in peace. It's one thing to die. It's another thing to die in peace. Look here. I know I've heard old saints say before. They all been walking with Jesus a long time. They say, I'm ready. You should have been like, wait, hold on. Wait a second. You young. You looking at them like, wait, oh, now I ain't even married yet. I ain't got no children out here. I want to do this, this. And these old saints are saying, no, Jesus. Jesus. Been walking with him all these years. I'm ready to meet him. Paul said it when they said they're gonna get you, Paul. Paul said, I'm ready to die for Jesus. What mean you breaking my heart, crying and weeping and carrying on? He said, stop all that foolishness. He said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Jesus, which is far greater, he said. He called being with Jesus then far greater than where you and I are right now. Think about that for a second. He said, but knowing that it's more needful for me to be with you, I know God's going to keep me here. He says, but I really want to go and be with Jesus. Oh, my God. Hey, and when you've been here a long time walking this old road, you say, Lord, I'm tired, Lord. I just, you know, I sure want to, I just can't wait to see you. So if you know your Savior, you'll know what it means to die in peace. Just like Simeon did. He said, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face, I love this, of all peoples. Of all peoples. It was hidden for generations. It was hidden for millennia that God would save the Gentiles. The Jews didn't know it. That's why when you know, in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to Cornelius' house and preached to them, when he got back to Jerusalem, the brothers got up in his face. What are you doing going to a Gentile's house? What's wrong with you? You know only us Jews and ones getting saved. Look here. That's where it went down. That's where it was in the New Testament. It wasn't until God spoke to Peter and God anointed Paul the apostle and raised him up as an apostle to the Gentiles. But Simeon here prophesies it. He gets into it. He says, our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. Listen to verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. A light to bring revelation. That word revelation means appearing, disclosure, manifestation. Jesus Christ was the one who would bring salvation, would bring light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, because all men walked in darkness. But Jesus was the light of the world who would shine into the hearts of dark Gentiles and bring us forth to salvation. So it says a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So in Christ, both Jew and Gentile were saved. Both Jew and Gentile. And beloved, that's why we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. You see, that's why we sing that. Because it is literally joy to the entire world. Now, my prayer is this. God would help us in this season, but not only in this season, in every season, that we would take every opportunity to tell somebody, to share with somebody that Jesus Christ came to die for all of our sins. That we would get to live that before someone, that we would get to to share that before someone, right? Because literally that is what Simeon is saying, and he's saying it because God revealed it to him and he wanted it known. So my prayer is that in every way we would tell the world about the salvation that has come to us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we love you today. We worship you and we acknowledge your goodness in every breath that we breathe. Thank you for waking us up this morning in our right mind. Thank you for your grace that carried us all day yesterday, that delivered us from evil known and unknown. Lord, that walked us through temptation, O God, in the valley of the shadow of death. We thank you, O God, it has been the power of your right hand, your Son, Jesus Christ. We magnify you. We worship you. We bless you, O God. We say there is none like you. And we pray and desire, O God, not our will, but thy will be done, Father, in us as individuals, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, O God. Father, as we vocationally, as we go and as we witness, as we represent, Lord, as we carry forth your presence in all places, that we would literally be your witnesses in every place that we go. May we continually be transformed into the image and the likeness of our Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And may your name be glorified in and through it all. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you.